Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight is another Tuesday, March the 19th, 2024, and our call-in number is 347-857-3293. And who are we? This is Ralph Pointer, What's Happening. And what are we about? We're about an analysis of oppression. And if you don't understand that everything in your life is controlled and manipulated to oppress and terrorize you, if you are poor, if you are working class, if you are female, if you are a second language speaker, if you have melanin in your skin, if you don't understand that, it's totally understandable. Because what we have is a blackness leadership class. What we have is fake news. What we have is a phrase called metaphysical imperialism. And that's simply, they try to tell you what is real and what is not real. And the purpose of Ralph Pointer, What's Happening, is to say, yes, there is such a thing as oppression. But oppression cannot exist without colonialism and imperialism. And that is driven by an economic system that we call capitalism. And so tonight, everyone who's speaking is someone who has dedicated their life to speaking truth to power. And I want to say that phrase again. everyone who speaks on this program attempts to say in their own way how they are living their life, and their life is a life of dedicated to struggle, and there are several aspects of struggle. And tonight, we are talking about liberation through automation, and we will shortly, hopefully, be able to have a guest on who will be educating us about what we mean when we say liberation through automation. And those of you who've been paying close attention, you've heard this whole furor about TikTok. And if you don't understand the technology behind why TikTok is a very important tool of communication, if you don't understand what capitalism is, and the explanation that I just gave you, you have come to the right place. But first, as you know, I can't start a broadcast without hearing from a warrior who was responsible for me getting into the struggle, along with Queen Mother Moore. So,
a brief history about a related accumulation of wealth of a community. I'm going to talk a little bit about the lessons learned from prohibition and people who have accumulated and how they are perceived by the rest of us. And I quickly jump to Joe Kennedy, the father of President Kennedy that everybody loved. He understood the fallacy of prohibition. He corrupted politicians around him. He set up a business that was illegal and promised when it becomes legal, they can only buy from him when it's legal if they buy from him when it's illegal. I'm talking about importation of Canadian whiskey. The good stuff.
I'm going to stop there because you can't understand what's happening with TikTok unless you understand that all of capitalism is a criminal enterprise. And so many people think there's such a thing as good money and bad money, and good earnings and bad earnings. So tonight, you're going to talk about an anatomy of oppression, but before that, we got to go to our poet in residence, and if you want to finally meet this poet in person, we're hoping you will be with us on this coming Thursday. Yes, it's this coming Thursday, this week already, from 5 to 9 p.m., when there will be music and speaking and food and speaking and fundraising and speaking in memory of Ralph Pointer. And as the buttons in the street are saying, don't mourn, organize. And that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be organizing some fundraising to bring Mamiya home and to bring Leonard Peltier home. And that is what Ralph wanted his last few pennies that he had in the bank to be spent for. So we're hoping you will join us at the Rockefeller Church, pardon me, Riverside Church, and the entrance is on 91 Claremont Avenue in Harlem between 120th and 121st or 122nd. So we're hoping that you can make it, even if you can't stay for the whole thing, even if you come late. There's plenty of food, and we're hoping you'll join us in lifting up one last hurrah for Ralph Pointer. And we're hoping that you'll bring a few pennies in your pocket. And as the abolitionists used to say, I'm not wealthy, but I got always got a little bit of money for sedition. So let's get Mamiya out. Let's bring Leonard home. Please join us. Thursday night, March 21. Ralph Pointer would have been 90 years old. But that does not stop us from picking up the work. And the last thing he said, as he forced me to realize that he was definitely transitioning, is, all right, sister, it's on you. Pick up the work. And that's what we're going to be doing. And so the poet is here. Come see Professor Louis at Riverside Church. He's going to be there. You're going to finally get to see him in person. Professor Louis, the mic is yours, and thank you for joining us once more.
War is nasty, ugly and cold. It kills the body and rots the soul. For silver and gold, an old story is told. It's your life that's bought and sold. You thought a job in the army would teach you a skill, but the army's job is teach you to kill. You kill some guy you don't even know, a dude like you, a regular Joe with not too much dough, and he might kill you all the same, lose your legs and lose your brain, and for a little more, that's hard to ignore. Check out the guys who fought the war. They had pride in our side. They fought with heart. Now they're out on your block with a shopping cart. They fought with what they thought was hope. Now they're down on the corner, strung out on dope. And does it matter to them when it's said and done if the war was lost or won? And along with the pain and who's to blame, it's a sure enough shame. But war can drive a whole country insane. Wave the flag and believe in lies. Everybody gets crazy. It's no big surprise. We look around us and we could find the whole country can lose its mind and say we believe in a better world for every little bitty boy and girl, and say we believe in a cleaner earth, clean air, clean water. We know what it's worth. But when it comes to the world, if you really ask, war is the worst thing that can come to pass. It destroys everything in its path, burns through the earth like the grapes of wrath. And who gets to pay for all the waste, death and destruction all over the place? It's not too funny. It's low and crummy. But war is paid for with our money. Planes, bombs, guns, bullets too, army tanks, trucks, army socks and shoes, aircraft carriers on the ocean blue, the whole thing paid by you. Tons and tons of money all thrown away, gone from your check every payday. And who sold the bullets? Who sold the plane? They got a face and they got a name. Boeing, Halliburton, and Lockheed, Bechtel, Grumman, IT&T, billion-dollar companies want billions more, getting down to it. They don't mind war. Trillions of dollars up in smoke. Someone's making money while you go broke. Marching everywhere, flags unfurled, so multinational companies can rule the world. And you kill somebody your same age, come home and they pay the minimum wage. No matter the war is won or lost, who made the profit, who paid the cost? No matter the war is lost or won, the flag don't wave for everyone. It waves for a new corporate foreign factory. It waves for your brother in the cemetery. And you kill somebody you never met to try and get something you will never get. And we might not want feelings or even dealings with people who kill. It's awful and ill, but say what you will, being a killer is a bitter pill. There's a ragged, broke veteran all out on the street, his shoes all torn up. You could see his feet. He fought the war, but the war wasn't kind. He's out of the war and out of his mind. So I don't want to listen when the trumpets blow. I don't believe what I hear on the radio. I listen for the voice of those who are gone. I listen for the voice of the baby and mom, and if you care about your family and your home, if you care about the children, not even grown, if you want your money to stay and not ever roam, if you want to buy your kid an ice cream cone, if you want a little help with your student loan, if you want to lift everybody to a higher zone, if you check out the facts with a fine-tooth comb, if murder is murder, even with a drone, if you could hear the dead and the dying moan, then it's true from here to eternity, from the clear blue sky to the deep blue sea. Killing other people will not make them free, and war is not the best thing for you and me, because war is nasty, ugly, and cold. It kills the body and rots the soul. For silver and gold, an old story is told. It's our lives that are bought and sold.
All right, so now you know why I have to listen to Professor Louis, and now you know why Ralph, time after time, lifted up his name with great respect and awe. And this poetry session has always been dedicated to the people's lawyer, Sister Lynn Stewart, who loved poetry. She really loved poetry. So, Professor Louis, I can't wait to see you, and hopefully you'll be there a little early so we can slip a little something-something for you that Ralph wanted you to have. And again, thank you for being with us all this time. We really appreciate you. See you Thursday, March the 21st.
I'll be there.
From your mouth to the universe's ear. And tonight we have a special guest, and we also have a special announcement, but we're going to go to our special guest, Dr. Shaquille Williams. This is the next generation that you can be proud of. He has accomplished so many things. One of them is he understands what AI is, artificial intelligence, that is. He understands the whole issues involved, all the issues involved in it. And one of our questions was, why is the ruling class in this country so concerned with TikTok? What's really behind it? And if you understand that an anatomy of oppression requires an anatomy of colonialism and imperialism, you will understand that. But the other reason I respect this young man is that he is someone that follows in the footsteps of Ralph Poynter and understanding that education and slavery are incompatible, to quote or paraphrase Frederick Douglass, and that cats don't educate mice, they eat them. So charter schools may be an alternative for some people who are afraid to get in there and fight for their kids in the public school system, but the majority of the working class children do not have that option. The charter schools want a certain type of child. So this is one of my comrades, I'm pleased and honored to say, in the struggle against mayoral control of the public school system. So I'd like to open up his mic because I know he has a busy schedule, and I'm hoping before he gets on to the whole issue of why and what's behind the ruling class in this country wanting to control TikTok, or a better way of saying it is, what is automation for liberation is all? What is it all about? What do you mean when you say that? And thank you for coming. Your mic is open.
Hello, hello. Can I be heard?
Yes, we can. We hear you loud and clear.
That's amazing. I'm happy to be here, comrade. There. It's interesting when we talk about the ruling class. We see a confluence of different interests coming together to push this decision. I appreciate what you were saying earlier and how you kind of tied it all together in talking about capitalism, imperialism, settler colonialism, and how these all go together to manifest the things we see in the day-to-day. Because sometimes, you see it in the news and it looks like it's just crazy headlines, talk show TV, and they don't really talk about how serious these things are and how intertwined they are. I feel like with this TikTok ban, we're seeing a bunch of different contradictions within the capitalist imperialist system coming to a head, right? First of all, you have monopoly capitalism, which I feel like is one of the primary drivers behind this conflict, because right now TikTok is the largest social media app on the App Store, with I think like 1.7 billion users and 170 million, I believe, in the U.S. And just a few years ago,
you say 170 million in the United States?
Yes, 170 million in the United States. Now, the thing is, Facebook used to be the big player and the biggest player in the space. Remember, you know, Facebook bought Instagram. Facebook also owns WhatsApp, which is outside of the U.S. like a primary, actually a primary like telecommunications for, you know, the average person, right? And you saw 2022 was the first year that Facebook saw a decrease in its users, right? And so they kind of saw the writing on the wall, saw how fast TikTok was growing. I believe it was the fastest growing app on the App Store at that time. And they started to push, team up with like these right-wing campaigns, right-wing political firms to plant negative stories about TikTok, right? And the goal was to turn public opinion against the popular video sharing service. So you had them pushing headlines like from dancers to danger, right? And you would think, and there's often this picture that like the U.S. ruling class is in some real conflict, right? You have the conservatives, that Ted Cruz is talking about, the liberals and libs of TikTok and how they're ruining America. I mean, and how Facebook had been liberal. They had been censoring people X, Y, and Z for all these years. And now they've been able to shift and work with Facebook, who before was the enemy of conservatism in America, according to the U.S. ruling class. And now you see them taking money from Facebook and pushing this. And Democrats also going along with it, too. I'm pushing news in you know, key districts, pushing op-eds, et cetera, et cetera. Right? So you have monopoly capital with the power and pushing this sentiment and spreading enmity amongst the U.S. ruling class, I mean, U.S. population. You have the ruling class in general that has the anti-China sentiment. And, you know, as you mentioned, imperialism. Interestingly, I don't know if you saw where they just lifted the sanctions off Zimbabwe, right? 99% of the sanctions are being lifted because it's not being seen as an international, like, you know, there's the International Emergency Economic Powers Act, and this act basically says that if a country is like an extraordinary threat or unusual or an extraordinary threat to the United States, that, you know, they have to take either economic means or military means to, you know, to address this emergency. So that's why Zimbabwe has been under sanctions for all this time. They took them off the list, right? And this is something that people talk about imperialism as a, you know, and thinking about drones and ships, but people don't talk about the economic warfare and see that aspect of it. And we see that's been ramping up against China. I mean, they say it was a Trump thing. Biden came in and continued the economic warfare and the arms race when it comes to, as you were mentioning, like automation. And, you know, where nuclear weapons were the primary, like, mode that they were, you know, racing back in the day in the old Cold War. Now we have AI, robots, robot soldiers, drones, AI, automated drones, and et cetera, that have become the new arms race, you know. And so countries are mobilizing against each other, and you see the U.S. putting sanctions against China, trying to block them in the development of chips and, you know, advanced chip technology. And all of this, you know, is, I mean, and China is nothing. We've seen this against Cuba for 60 years. We've seen it against Zimbabwe. The majority of the world right now is under U.S. sanctions, right? So imperialism is another... Like,
that again? Did you just say the majority of the world is under United States sanctions?
Yes. Of some.
What does a sanction mean again? Treat me like I'm stupid, okay?
So, well, there's levels to it, right? So you have sanctions like they had against Zimbabwe where, you know, you can't do business with anything related to, you know, the state, none of its banks. There's no ability to, like, do foreign investment if you want to, you know, do business with the U.S. And then you saw this during, like, COVID, for example. Cuba, who's been under sanctions for 60 years and yet has been able to, you know, develop a robust healthcare sector, wasn't able to get simple things like screws for their ventilators and, you know, minor things because it would be like you could get it in one country in Europe. And because of the U.S. sanctions, that they couldn't do those trades, right, or, you know, get aid or, you know, et cetera. So this is a weapon, and this is also partly why the U.S. is the only country that didn't see food as a human right, you know.
Again, food is not a human right?
Right. The U.N. took a vote on whether or not food was considered a human right, and the U.S., though it has the capacity to feed all of its citizens, was the one that voted no. And not because they're evil and don't think food is a human right just because they're capitalists, but also going back to what you're saying about imperialism, they use food and, you know, economic weapons as the first kind of like level of warfare. And if that doesn't work, that's when you get to drone strikes and gunboats and, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
All of which is going on in Gaza.
Yes. And it's going on all over the world. And, you know, like you mentioned Gaza, there's parallels, as you know, between Gaza, Palestine, and South Africa. And
yes.
one of the other like contradictions is that you see them lifting these sanctions on Zimbabwe, right? And now, because of the actions that South Africa has taken, one, in taking Israel to the ICJ, speaking out against Israel and not sanctioning Vladimir Putin, et cetera, et cetera. The U.S. has been kind of like saber rattling over months, right? And you see it's culminating, and people are saying, you know, if the ANC wins again in May, there might be like more radical economic changes and like land distribution. So that could land it on the list of like, you know, state threats to the United States and put them under sanctions. And they're like the economic power within the region. You also saw Anthony Blinken went and visited like Angola shortly after South Africa did what they did in taking them to the ICJ, which is interesting and another contradiction because if you recall, the U.S. actually sided with South Africa against Angola and against Zimbabwe, you know, when they were fighting against apartheid and colonialism just a few short decades ago.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So now explain this thing with TikTok, because I started off with a recording Ralph did in 2020 where he talked about capitalism and how these Kennedys, they started off which was the illegal drug of choice in the 20s, which was booze. And if you listen to history, they were killing their own people because most of the people they sold the booze to were Irish. But he said, my business is going to be legal soon, but you can't participate in my wealth if you don't buy from me now. So he had it both ways.
And we're seeing that right now with TikTok, right? We have Facebook fighting against TikTok and saying, you know, people are even saying, oh, well, China banned Facebook in China. Well, China lets, you know, companies operate as long as they abide by the laws within the country, right? And we saw that after they denied them, they went over and there was a genocide, you know, that the people used Facebook in large part. And we also saw where people were selling arms. We saw where people were like, you know, like building terrorist networks on Facebook's website. And they weren't in the third world or in the periphery, doing their due diligence and, like, you know, moderating these things, right? And and yet they turned TikTok into, like, the threat to our society. There was also talk of how Facebook played a part, how people use bots to sway the elections, right? And yet they project this image onto an outside force because they can't handle they can't solve their own contradictions. They can't just rein in Facebook and its monopoly capital, which has captured so much of the political economy of the country. They can't regulate and say, oh, kids shouldn't access this and access that as they should and could, right? So they turn it into one, external warfare, and then also threats like internal, because you see you have Nikki Haley going on and saying watching TikTok for 30 minutes raises people's anti-Semitism by 18%. You see the Israel lobby saying that, you know, anti-Semitism is rampant on TikTok, right? And really, when they say anti-Semitism, they mean people speaking out against the genocidal settler colonial project, which is massacring the Palestinian people right before our eyes, you know? And there's a split between the older and younger people, you know, because the imperialism manifested as the Red Scare decades ago, and I feel like the older generation was kind of inundated in a lot of, like, you know, propaganda. And I think the younger generation, as they're coming up, now have access to information, and they're organizing. It's not TikTok that's pushing it. And in fact, it's not TikTok that's doing it, right? And I would argue, actually, TikTok censors more than the other websites. They say anti-Semitism is spreading on TikTok when you have open Nazi organizations organizing on Twitter for the public to see, you know, promoting Hitler and Hitlerism and, you know, various fascist ideologies. And yet there's not that same, you know, enmity towards Twitter. Even you saw a couple months ago when Elon bought it, you had Ted Cruz going on TV and saying this was a win, you know, for the conservatives and the right wing within the country because they had their boy, you know, with this power and the ability to see kind of the inner workings and, you know, communications with the public. This is on Fox News. You know, it's not like a behind the door, you know, a conspiracy. So, yeah.
Is your opinion then? How should those of us who are organizing all the time to bring reality and true class struggle into this world, how should we be reacting to this attack on TikTok?
Well, I think, you know, this is a there's a good side and a bad side to this, right? Because as I said, it wasn't TikTok that was radicalizing people or organizing people, you know, on the grassroots. It was the genuine, you know, desires of the people, of the working masses in general, right? And I would say it's reality asserting itself as we've seen it doing. It's been, you know, they say there's like decades where nothing happens and weeks where decades happen, you know, and I think there's been a lot of those weeks in like recent times. So I think all over the world we see reality asserting itself and people taking up the mantle. We see them trying to address these contradictions by banning quote-unquote CRT and like Black history throughout the South, and we see people organizing like they did 60 years ago with churches, with community organizations to provide the education, as you said, because you can't be education and slavery are diametrically opposed, right? And so on the one hand, we see the ruling class thrashing and, you know, we see a dying colonialism trying to stabilize itself. And at the same time, we see that the people are dogging their approach. And what we saw even a couple years ago with like Black Lives Matter, I know a lot of people feel like the energy the energy came and then dissipated. But I would argue all these things that we're seeing and have been seeing over the recent years across struggles, as you were mentioning, for women's rights, for women's reproductive justice, for education, for community control of education, for labor rights, et cetera, all of these are raising the consciousness of the people, you know, and it gives our class experience and the knowledge to win, you know. So I think that it can be frustrating, frightful, when we're faced with, like, the state suppression or the the naked face of imperialism, whether it be by military means or economic means. But also we have to remember that the people are like constantly organizing and fighting back, and we will win.
Oh, boy, thank you. I just want to say to all my comrades, I know I gave Brother Shaq a little extra time, but he is the next generation. He's one of the most awesome young people that I know, and it's my privilege to have been associated with. And he had an amazing respect and rapport with Brother Ralph, and Brother Ralph thought quite a bit of him. So I thank you for coming on. If you can, you're hanging. We are a program that's dedicated to political prisoners, and many of the political prisoners are now experiencing censorship. I know that the political prisoners, as a result of the rebellion against Cop City, they have gag orders, and they cannot speak out. But you notice that on TikTok, the struggle continues for them. And so it is our duty, it is our obligation to speak for them. And that's why I was suspicious when they said, TikTok is bad, but at the same time, if you sell it to us, that'll be okay. And right away, I got suspicious. If TikTok is bad, if poison is bad, why do you want to buy it? It's more of the same. So I hope you will return, and I hope you'll hang around a bit. We've got Sister Ann on the line, and a number of you have the right, if you give us your reports, to respond to Brother Shaq Keel. I want you to know he has devoted his spare time to creating computer study classes for our young people, and he's training them in what he means by liberation for automation. Can you quickly give us just one or two sentences by what you mean? What is your definition of liberation, automation for liberation? Excuse me, I got it backwards.
No, thank you. I'll be quick. I think, as you said, sometimes they push this like fear and propaganda against technology, not just TikTok, but robotics and some kind of like AI apocalypse. But we who know history know that there's no worse apocalypse that could be brought on than what has been brought on in the past like 400 years, right? And this technology is merely a tool, and they've been using these tools to oppress and repress and expropriate and immiserate the people. I think these tools can also be used, and we've seen it be used countless times too, for our benefit and for our liberation, and you know, whether it be for our health, security, education, et cetera, et cetera. I believe that it's important that we all have the power and the knowledge to, you know, take on the future.
Well, I thank you. And so, you know, hang in there with us. Thank you for trying to educate myself and Comrade Brother Ralph. We totally appreciate your patience in trying to make somebody like us understand this new world. Without further ado, Sister Ann, your mic is open, and thank you for your patience. I know we have some very horrific news, and I want everybody to know that we've extended the time, because the thing with TikTok to me is a perfect example of what Brother Ralph meant when he quotes what Kennedy was saying about, you know, good money and bad money, good economic enterprise and bad economic enterprise. And this whole struggle over TikTok is a perfect example of capitalism doing its capitalist thing. You can't make money, but if you sell it to me, I can make money. Sister Ann, your mic is open.
Oh, thank you, Sister Betty. That was very interesting and informative. Thank you for that. Yes, I saw that one of the things that they have against, you know, TikTok is it's not a media that their propaganda machine controls.
Uh-huh.
That's their whole problem with it. You know, they do not control, you know, it's not part of their propaganda machine, which we know is very good and very efficient and works very well, unfortunately. But that's why we're here, to counteract that. So I have some good news, in a way. You remember those Goon Squad police officers in Mississippi who assaulted those two black men and shot the guy in his mouth and all that stuff just because they
happened?
Yes. I
remember Brother Fierro was kind enough to send us a petition to sign, and he's on the line. He'll be giving us a more extensive report, just to let you know, Sister Ann. He's
okay.
Waiting and willing to tell us.
I am very happy to report that one of the six officers has just been sentenced to 20 years in prison for the Goon Squad torture of two black men. So that is a positive thing. I think he should be sentenced to life without parole, personally, myself. But anyway, that I won't get into it too much because you have Brother Fiedo to talk more about that. Some other news that was recently revealed to us was about a campaign, you know, against the Dakota Access Pipeline. So
yes.
Now the state and the feds are arguing about money, right? So what came out of that was that the FBI sent various informants and agents to the protest. Now, we already knew of at least one because that was how come Red Gonzalez went to prison. Turned out that her boyfriend was an FBI informant.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, now there's some new news because of this ongoing, you know, battle between North Dakota and the feds that who's going to pay for the policing of the pipeline fight, right? So in the course of this investigation and argument, it comes out that there were at least 10 informants managed by the FBI who were at NoDAPL, you know, dressed as regular folk, mingling in with folk, being part of it. And that does not include the other people who were also there, which was the BIA, the Bureau of Indian Affairs, because this was on Native Nation, so-called Indian Reservation. So the Bureau of Indian Affairs has jurisdiction over that. So they were also operating undercover officers out of a place called Prairie Nights Casino, where many opponents of the pipeline had rented rooms. So this whole story just came out today in Law Story. I just posted it on our e-list. I'm not going to get into tons of details because it's a fairly long and detailed article, but it's really good. And, you know, just points out what we already knew about that. You know, we all knew that they obviously, you know, whenever there's any kind of major mobilization going on about anything, we know that we're infiltrated and that, you know, but it's good because they talk about history. They talk about, you know, the FBI infiltrating the American Indian movement and so on and so forth. And, you know, just goes to show you, you know, the level that they will go to oppress and repress any resistance against, you know, their horrible, what can we call it? It's like a death machine, you know. This system is like a death machine. So I just wanted to say those two things briefly. And also, people, please, please keep the pressure on for Leonard and keep the pressure on for Lumia. Go to JerichoNY.org. They're both right on the first page. You don't have to look anywhere. Make those phone calls. Send those emails, okay? Because as a result of us doing this, or apparently at least partially as a result of us doing this, some senators decided to write to Merrick Garland and say, you know, what is your problem? Well, not in so many words, but what is your problem? Why don't you grant compassionate release to Leonard Peltier? So we are having an effect, folks. Do not ever think that making those phone calls and sending those emails doesn't mean anything. We have saved lives by doing these campaigns. And we need to save Mumia's life, and we need to save Leonard's life, and we also need always to save our own lives. Because when we release and free our political prisoners, we are also freeing ourselves.
Well, thank you, Sister.
Thank you,
really
Sister.
And we're going to move right along. We'll come back to you for special announcements. Everyone, you must visit the Jericho website. And the emails that are sent out by Jericho cover the entire movement of repression and oppression. So hang in there, Sister Ann. We're going to go right away to 7785. Did you want to make any comments on anything? And if you have any updates, please say them now. 7785.
Great program going on here. Professor Lewis' poem really just, I mean, you can't it couldn't be any better. Everything being said is great. I do have a couple of quick thoughts. I'll certainly say exactly what Ann was saying about make those phone calls, send those emails. It might seem like a small and like not a very significant thing, but as those numbers build up and those various swines, wardens, presidents, whatever, get this information from just the public as a whole, and as those numbers build up, it has exactly the possibility of bringing about real relief for the brothers and sisters, political prisoners locked up. I just want to mention one thing. I brought it up very quickly last week. I just want to add to it a little bit. Another long, long-held political prisoner, Bill Dunn, locked up since 79. I mean, we're talking about almost as long as Leonard and Mumia way back, 1979, he was thrown in captivity. Member of the George Jackson Brigade, last of the George Jackson Brigade. They did a lot of very significant revolutionary work out on the West Coast, Washington State, and so forth. But anyway, Bill has been in captivity all these years. Just recently, he was sent to Butner, which is the medical prison for the federal system. And I just, people may have some idea of this, but let me say it very clearly. Many political prisoners and other prisoners get sent to Butner to die. That's what it's really they do. It's a medical, the hospital prison and so forth, but many, many of our dear comrades go there, and the next thing you know, they're dead. By next week, I hope to have some information and also some numbers and email addresses that we can start sending, putting some pressure on for Bill. He has cancer, and so far, he's been there at least for a while. They have done absolutely nothing for him. No treatment, no serious examination or anything. So we'll have more information then. And let me just leave, as we always say, free them all.
Thank you so much. I just want to remind everybody that Lynn was sent to Carswell, and she was receiving no treatment for her stage 4 breast cancer. And it was a result of the public outrage and the political movement that got her treatment in the prison. That's why she was sent to that particular prison of Carswell. So when people like Ann and Jan, I'm sorry, 7785 tell you, fight, call these misleadership class politicians that are getting in on your vote, hold them accountable. That's what you have to do. I apologize to all of you for the length of the program tonight. It is extended. Please, please don't hang up. Okay, we're going to move right along. When we talk about automation for liberation, one of the things that happened on TikTok is that there's an overwhelming presence of young people who are screaming bloody murder about what we call genocide in Gaza. Of course, the capitalists don't call it that. They call it real estate. And in Jersey and in certain parts of the United States, they are auctioning off the land and houses in Gaza right now. Sister Lisa, who was a member of the Black is Back Coalition, was at a protest against the auctioning and selling off of property and land. They don't call it genocide. They call it real estate. All right. Brother Henry, your mic is open. Thank you for joining us this evening. Brother Henry?
Yes.
Yes,
your
mic is open. Yes, now I hear you.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you, Sister Betty. I was going through my archives a couple of days ago, and I came across an article that gives us the background upon which Lynn was sentenced to prison. It says, compassionate release for Lynn Stewart now. This comes out of the April 25th edition of 2013 from Workers' World. Attorney Lynn Stewart is being held hostage by the state, the federal government. She's valiantly fighting both her unjust imprisonment and a serious bout of cancer. Time is a critical element in both instances. Lynn Stewart's imprisonment is payback for her unrelenting defense of the poor and oppressed over decades in this complex and hypocritical society. Truth be known, she's committed no crime worthy of such harsh, cruel, and vindictive application. To paraphrase Fidel, what the imperialists fear most is Lynn Stewart's example. Urgent pleas have gone out to the warden with Sister Lynn being held against her will, against the loving wishes of her family, colleagues, supporters, sister inmates, and internationalists the world over. All of them ask for the granting of compassionate release of Lynn due to the extreme health confrontation confronting her daily. Prisons, by definition, are inadequate institutions to deal with such needs. Wardens in the world's largest prison house of nations know this. He, the warden, says that the prison guidelines tie his hands and he is limited to following the established time schedule, as if the idea of extenuating circumstances is a foreign language to him. Hogwash. The empire will not crumble with the compassionate release of Lynn Stewart behind Attica, Abu Ghraib, Guantanamo, Kabul, etc. Who is the United States to talk about hands being tied? In a sane, decent, and humane society, Lynn Stewart's life work would be celebrated, enshrined, and encouraged to the max. Not here. What does that tell you? Demand exactly. Lynn's release in the hundreds of thousands, night and day. And that's from a member of the former Take Back Coalition at WBAI. April 5th, 2013.
Thank you. Because the same struggle that Brother Ralph led to bring home his comrade and his partner, that's the struggle that freed her. And many of the people who are going to be there Thursday night are people who joined with him in that struggle. This is not just a celebration of his birthday and of his life. This is picking up the work. We want you to come out and meet these people. They have experienced victory. If you join them, we can have more victories. That's what Thursday night is about. Just about every organization that stands for anything will be there. We hope you will join us. You can hear some good music, too, while you're at it, and eat some good food. Thank you, Brother Henry. Thank you.
You're welcome, Sister Lynn.
Further ado, we got to go to another part of the United States. Brother Sayero, are you there?
Uhuru, uhuru, powerful program tonight, very powerful. And I think that we're all doing what Ralph mentioned that we need to do, thanks to you and through you. Don't mourn, organize, pick up the work. That's what he stated. I would like to, first of all, thank Ann for the work that she does through New York City, Jericho, and all New York City, or I should say Jericho movement, with the abundance of information on how prisoners, the prisoners who are captives in these hellhole prisons across the country. As we all know, we make up 67% of all prisons. That's why you don't see many African men on the streets. I'd also like to say, and I'm hoping that she's on, that will be Sister Commander Sherelle Potts of the New Black Panther Party to give the details on Hunter Edwards, who's 31, received a prison sentence of 20 years, and Jeffrey Middleton, 46, was sentenced to 17 and a half years in back-to-back proceedings in the federal courthouse in Jackson, Mississippi, according to the United States Justice Department. This happened today, and that's two out of the six. But now we also deduce that I don't believe that they'll do all the time.
Exactly.
For this. Go ahead, sister.
No, I'm just saying this is South mantra is, if they do 2 years, I'll be surprised.
Yes. Sister Mother Kashiba brought that to my attention today. I said, you know what? To think about it, we've always shared example when Trayvon Martin's, the killer of Trayvon Martin got charged with second-degree murder, but he never got really sentenced. Right, George Zimmerman still walks the streets big as a big Stay Puft balloon, and he's still walking. We talk about today these sentences, and I'm hoping that the sister is on because she did say that she would come on, and I would further like to go on to say that we tested today in the Uhuru movement non-committed vote. We had a class on that today, thanks to Cam Howard. It was so productive because the non-committed vote means this. We have to ask and put on these ballots what we want. We say we want reparations. That's what a non-committed vote should represent. We say we want to quit being terrorized by these terrorist imperialist cops. That needs to be on the ballot. We say that we want our land. That needs to be on the ballot. That's the unison of a non-committed vote. We're not for either Democrat nor Republican. As you always mentioned, neither one of them have done us any good at any time, even when the civil rights legislation for us to vote in 1965, as the chairman said, that was the same time that Malcolm X was murdered. That same time. And then in 1968, the reason Martin Luther King was murdered is because he began to discuss what the economic situation and then that turnaround that was needed through the Poor People's March or Poor People's Campaign. And that's what incited. Today we have Cop City, as you mentioned. Cop City is a institution, like most of them, that are to protect the very wealthy at the expense of the very poor, which are you and I. And that means genocide. So we the real total outcomes for us. When you look at, we talk about Little Peltier or Mumia, they never should have been in prison. Never should have been in prison. But that's the standard that we live by. If you're going to talk about truth, rules of the law are made against you and I all the time, every day, all of our lives. And then when they say that they're going to indict each other, we always notice there's a reason why they don't go to jail. Right now, you have these features going on with Donald Trump. You have this thing about Biden. They don't really mean that. This is all a show. And the game players and the gamers are you and I. So we need to quit being deceived. We need to start working. I don't care if we're New Black Panther Party or the African People's Socialist Party or whatever party. If we have the same goals, we need to be working together as an organized group at all factions in this war that we fight. Hell, the Hatfields and McCoys, they fought against each other, but when it came to shooting black people, they were together. Just think of it
Thank
that
you.
Way. That's the war that we're in. Then,
and I don't
see
Amanda pop on at this time, but as soon as her number pops up, I will open her mic. Thank you,
okay,
Brother Steele.
Later on, towards the end, I'd like to give a couple of announcements, if you don't mind.
All right. I just want to get everybody in. I'll come back to you and Ann because I know you always have announcements that we should be following up on. All right. I see another poet in the house. I don't know if they wanted to make a comment or ask a question, but Sister Nzinga, did you want to make a statement or something?
I just wanted – good evening, everybody. Thank you, Sister Betty. Just wanted to share I went to the rally last Thursday against the genocide that's taking place in Gaza. It was initially supposed to happen in Midwood, which is a heavily Jewish populated section in Brooklyn. They canceled that rally because they said they didn't want it. It was going to be too much for that neighborhood, so they moved it to Grand Army Plaza. And at the very same time, we were rallying. They were literally, as you said, selling real estate in Gaza. What we did at that rally, and they had, since we had the rally, what the Jewish community did, they had scheduled a Zoom meeting evening, last Thursday evening, to sell, do their real estate transactions. But what we did at the rally, everybody got the Zoom link to their meeting, and we sent in information to Zoom to stop the meeting from taking place. So it was very, very, a lot of people were out there. A lot of people are angry, young, middle-aged, old. A lot of people were speaking out against the genocide that's happening in Gaza. so it was very well attended, and I think that we're going to do it again on the 30th of this month. Just wanted to share that.
Well, I want you to know that Sister Nzinga will be one of the poets who will be presenting in honor of Comrade Ralph Pointer and lifting up her voice to try to get a few shekels and coins and paper money for people for Mamiya and Leonard Peltier. You heard what Ann Land said. You heard what Jan said. We got to step up to the plate. We got to get organized, which is our theme tonight, but we have to stay organized. We pushed that rock up the hill and it falls back down. We pushed it up the hill in 1960. We lost a lot of warriors to the prison and it fell back down because we didn't take them out. So I want to keep going, but I want you to remember that. Now, Comrade Sayeto, if we're looking for Comrade Potts, I'm going down the list and hopefully Commander Potts, that's who you advise is hopefully going to call in tonight. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. First three numbers are 404. Last
no, her numbers.
Numbers
I'm looking. They're not on the screen yet. The minute I see them, I'll stop whoever's speaking and open up her mic. And thank you for that. Okay.
Thank you.
All right, we're
going to
move along. We've extended the time, but we want to get everybody in. The last four digits are 9080. Did you want to make a comment? 9080. Your mic is open. Okay, thank you for joining us and for listening. 8169. Last four digits, 8169. Did you want to make a comment?
Yes, I want to talk about the Gomes, the ones that were sentenced to 20 years and 17 years in Mississippi. By Malik Zulu Shabazz, the lawyer. I know the reason why, because they held it off about 2 or 3 months before they really did a trial on them, and they still got 6 more that they got to have a trial on them. But what I think what they're doing, they keep holding it off because they done throwed it out 3 times. And you know, when they throw a court case out 3 times, they supposed to do away with it. Because that's the law that they'll do away with it. But those goons that did say they got 20 and 17, they ain't going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be surprised if they do a whole month.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be surprised if they do a whole month.
Exactly.
And one thing that we got to do is we got to fight more, but we got to do it now by any means necessary. I mean any means necessary.
Right on.
We got all this stuff going on. We got to do it by any means necessary. What we can do, we got to do. Regardless about them, we got to do it. And it's
all
called
right.
A freedom or death. Black Power. Thank you
what
for speaking.
What are you calling from?
I'm calling from Chesapeake, Virginia. And
all
I'm
right,
in the new Black Power Party.
All right, Virginia. I like the way you talk. Thank you. Thank you. All right. We got our professor in the house. We missed him last week, and we also ran out of time on him, but he's back. He has had some health issues, I understand, but he's back with us again. Okay. Professor Joel, your mic is open. Give us your words of wisdom.
Yes, can you hear me?
Oh, very well.
And thank you for that complimentary title. I'm not officially a professor or anything, but thank you very much for that high compliment, especially coming on this forum where everybody that participates knows a tremendous amount, has a tremendous amount of knowledge compared to the ignorance of the bulk of the population here. But we have to remember when we feel that ignorance and feel surrounded by all of that, that those are the people that we need to change their minds and recruit them for revolutionary action, because we need the bulk of the people to support the revolution that's going to come. And that's really what our job is at this point, to organize people, to make them aware of the deeper reality that they're lied to about all the time, and also to bring people into a political awareness and a strategic consciousness, so that, as we used to say during the Tompkins Square uprising, we fight the system and not each other, and that's how it could build. It's really a global class war going on, and we see that more and more. This country is getting more and more repressive because they fear the knowledge of the people is growing, and more people beginning to see through all of the lies and all of the misdirection and propaganda and brainwashing that they're going through into the deeper reality. That is that there are a handful of multi-billionaires who are coordinating all of this repression and to the point of genocide that's going on in various places. But if we look at the process, the whole process is one big genocide. The capitalist system itself is a genocidal Ponzi scheme where more and more people get targeted for everything from being thrown out of a job to extreme poverty and various ways of being murdered. It's one big genocide, but they try to keep us divided against each other by concentrating the genocide on certain people who then become demonized, and we're made to think that they've got that genocide coming against them because look at what they're accused of doing, which is setting people up for genocide. And that's what we have to realize when we see how people are demonized, like what's going on right now in the Middle East, where people have been driven out of their homes and made into refugees and held had the lands where they were living turned into concentration camps for them, imitating what happened in the United States with the native people pushed off the land to make room for the settler colonialists who still occupy the land and to this day. And that was also patterned after the genocide that the British did against the Irish in the years before the occupation of the Americans, as sort of the warm-up of what they then did with the native people. So people are more and more becoming aware of that. We can note that an Air Force officer two or three weeks ago, Aaron Bucknell, immolated himself to dramatize his feelings for the Palestinians and his refusal to, as a member of the Air Force, to be an accomplice to these major genocidal crimes. And that may mean that there are others, if he was in the Air Force and felt that there are others in the Air Force and even more in the Army and the Navy, who are beginning to see all of these wars. And if they try to deploy these people, they may get a revolt of the type that they, and more so that happened during the Vietnam War. One of the major reasons why the United States was defeated by the Vietnamese, and not only that, by not even by an actual government of a country, but by the National Liberation Front, which was not in power. It was only a revolutionary group, and that was able to defeat the armed forces of the United States, which had half a million troops occupying their lands and was bombing their country every day and killing and torturing many of the peasants and so on. And the United States, it was probably, when you look at the context, the most humiliating defeat in the history of the world. And that showed, and that was all, and that was largely based on a revolt that was taking place in the armed forces. A word was invented called fragging. And that word fragging meant that ordinary soldiers were throwing fragmentation bombs into the tents and locations of the higher officers, and who were out trying to motivate them to become murderers or dead bodies in the Vietnam War. And that was the beginning of something which has to this day enabled many people to see through the genocidal and ultimately totally evil nature of what they're being asked to take part in. And that's what's largely going on today. But time is short, and every minute that goes by means that more and more people are still suffering, and that's why we have to have forums like this and make people aware and to make each other aware of the details of what's going on and to mobilize people to rise up and resist in every way. And because we don't know what's going to happen over a period of time if we don't. And especially we have to keep reminding people about those who took the step forward to resist many of the many years ago that are still suffering in the death camps of the United States for resisting this system of capitalist slavery at home and abroad. It's a global thing, and it's a global class war that's going on. And right now, of course, the fighting is very concentrated in the Middle East. Now, I should point out that, and this goes under that time is short headline, because now we have, for the first time, I've never heard somebody run for president. Usually they deny that they feel this way, or we know that they're in service to a system that's built around this idea. But Donald Trump, he says that he is going to be a dictator from day one. He's going to round up his political opponents. One of the examples that he used was Liz Cheney. That's the daughter of the infamous secretary, the infamous Vice President Cheney, who was involved in lying the country into the war and so on. So he's talking about jailing Liz Cheney. And when you stop to think of what he means then by his political opponents, we have to all feel it. these are, you know, we could say these are just words, or, well, you know, Donald Trump is just shooting off his mouth, but it's significant that he is shooting off his mouth in that way. He's laying down a real threat. He's not speaking just for himself. He's speaking for a large wing of the ruling class that supports him, that is responsible for anyone like that being in, saying that in public. And he's saying it in public to try to prepare the reactionary, brainwashed section of public opinion to go along with it and even take part in it. He said that if he loses the election, there's going to be a bloodbath. Who's going to administer the bloodbath? Well, he's trying to pump people up to do it. And we have to be, you know, like, we have to be aware, and we have to become more and more trained and ready to go into action, because, you know, it's, a lot of people believe in peace and nonviolence, and that is a good principle to believe in terms of the end goal for humanity. But it can't really be, it becomes more and more impossible when people are coming after you to kill your family, to kill anyone that has any kind of humanistic ideas, or even an idea that somebody like Trump should be exposed. And I just heard on WBAI.
Don't forget, we've got more people who need to make announcements, Joe. So you need to start winding it up, okay?
Yes. Just heard on WBAI that the Israeli forces and AIPAC, which is the Israel lobby in the United States, had helped to fund the activities on January 6th. And what were those? Those were activities to try to keep Trump in power and give him an extra term. And it's obvious that AIPAC was frustrated that he didn't get a second term after giving so much to the Israeli state and forming an alliance called the Abraham Alliance, where several Arab countries have come together to make war against especially Iran, but again, on the side of the imperialists. And it's, that was one preparation for the genocide that's going on right now. So we have to work very hard to prevent any worsening, and we can do it. We have the strength. There's still a working class here that can shut the country down and can be part of the movement to shut the entire capitalist world down and transform it into a world which is based on human needs and working class and a worker peasant alliance around the world, so that the people that produce everything that serves human needs and even also produces the things that are used against us, all the weapons and everything, and the class that does all the fighting, can turn around and overthrow the evil capitalist class, which leads to nothing but genocide and human extinction.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You got it. I deliberately had to curtail you a little bit, though I definitely want to hear more, because we see that Sister Julia Wright has joined us, and she was not on earlier. I'm so glad, because I know she has, like you, had some serious health challenges. Welcome, and did you want to say a few words?
Yes, just a poem called Dead Child Walking, and this is for the Mumia Youth Movement. In the U.S. of A., the Kansas Department for Child and Families, looked the other way as a 7-year-old black boy, Adrian Jones, was starved and tortured by dysfunctional relatives who threw his remains to their pigs. "Mommy and Daddy can't feed me," he kept telling the state. Not so far away, in New Orleans, fat rats grow high today, nibbling on marijuana evidence in decrepit police headquarters. Meanwhile, in Gaza, ravenous children cannot survive on bird seed and animal fodder. And around the corner in occupied West Bank, a 12-year-old, Rami Al-Halouli, who was celebrating Ramadan playing with a firework, is murdered by the IDF in front of our eyes. Another, Tamir Rees, whose body pierced by a single bullet made in USA, is withheld by the police as the family is ordered to hold a small funeral or else. In the genocidal and bloodlusty eyes of imperialism, all remains of childhood must be cleansed from Palestine and from all lands on the wrong side of the apartheid line. Anything in the hands of a dead child walking, a dusty fistful of grief, an orange, a kite, a reaching back to home, digging for a remembered scrap of food in the rubble, a doll's dress for a white flag, even the semblance of a dream, is the mark of a verbatim freedom the colonizer throws hungrily into the pen of the feeding frenzy of his killology. Adrian, Hind, Rami, Tamir, Emmett, and the legion of our child ancestors, we march to the happy skips of your ageless hope.
Thank you, Sister Julia. I know your father, Richard Wright, would be extremely proud of that poem. I wish you could be with us this Thursday to celebrate Ralph's birthday and to urge people to donate to Peltier Fund, Defense Fund, and to Comrade Mamiya. And I am so pleased that you sacrificed your health a little bit to stay on so late to be with us. And we're honored.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And good luck for tomorrow.
Well, it's day after tomorrow for us. It's probably tomorrow for you, but for us, it's day after tomorrow.
Yes,
the 21st. You just take care of your health. We do need you. Before we
go to
Comrade Sierra and Comrade Lamb, I want to ask Brother Shaquille, did he have a few more words to add? Specifically, when we talk about the people on TikTok who are using TikTok, we know it's the right wing as well as those we call the left, but it's not just that. There are entrepreneurs and everyone else on TikTok. So why do you insist that, you know, there is liberation in automation when you hear what these bombs are doing that are directed through AI right to somebody's house while they're on the phone? Can you elaborate further before we go to Sister Ann and Brother Cielo?
No, can you hear me?
Yes, definitely.
Perfect, thank you. No, yes, as you said, you know, there's like, it's not always one thing or the other. You know, I think there's a lot of different competing interests. And as you said, they're like small business owners. But I think that also goes back to monopoly capital, right? I think there are 70 million small business owners, American small business owners on TikTok that would suffer. However, we know that similar to with like the YouTube creator economy, where you have people, quote unquote, getting rich some here and there. And even that is like, if we were to really look at the numbers, not always what it seems. But at the end of the day, they own the means that we can use to even, you know, to even communicate, to even like sell our, you know, our content, to engage with each other, to push our message, you know. And even when we push quote unquote radical content on a YouTube, right, at the end of the day, they're still getting the money from the advertisement, right?
Right.
But I think that, as you were saying, like, it's, you know, I think one thing, as you, like, the Palestine conflict has, like, heightened it and added another group, which is, like, doggedly against it. But I think it kind of, like, illustrates, you know, the core issue, the core issue is that, you know, these people control everything, whether it's, you know, whether you want to say in America, the American context, they'll say left and right, they've captured. And we saw that a big thing, like even with the coverage of Palestine, right, the major, the NBCs, the Fox News, is they kind of coalesce in like what they talk about, right? They mention,
yes,
the Israeli hostages more than they mention the thousands of Palestinians that have been wiped out, you know.
Right.
And this is like a break. And I think that, you know, it just, at the end of the day, the people need to liberate ourselves from this, the power of monopoly capital that like seeps into every part of our lives, that, you know, funds everything from the normal logical fascist elements to the far right wing, you know, from the Joe Bidens all the way to the neo-Nazis we see marching, are all, you know, emerging from that like lack of control. And we need to take control and steer it away from that.
Well, thank you. I hope you will return when you have time. I appreciate the fact that you are steering our youth, the next generation coming, away from just playing games on the computer and their cell phones, to really utilizing these tools to work for their liberation. I appreciate you for that. And you're always welcome here.
Thank you.
Hope you'll return on BAI also to talk
anytime
in more depth about the role of AI in our society. That it's like anything else, like any other tool. It's how you use it. Thank you. I think, Brother Sarah, you wanted to make a quick comment, announcement, and I'm very pleased to hear the result of the discussion you had about we're sitting this one out. With all due respect to people who are afraid of what Trump is going to do, Biden has already done. When you hear people talk about how many of our black people in our community are incarcerated, he started that. 1984 legislation. He was behind that, and he had the Black Congressional Caucus, this Black Misleadership class, vote those crack cocaine legislations in Congress. I don't want anybody to ever forget that. But, Brother Cielo, your mic is open. And don't forget,
yes,
Mr. Ann's announcements as well.
Yes, real brief and quick. Memorial tribute for Revolutionary Warrior Ralph Poynter. On the 21st, Thursday, the Riverside Church, Riverside Drive, New York, New York, United States of America, 495, of course, New York, New York, 10027. Then I want to go to the Black is Back Electoral Campaign School. That's going to be on April 13th and 14th. I would like to have everybody go to the Black is Back .org, that information, and register. And finally, I'd like to get to the case of the Uhuru 3, which will be this Saturday, Saturday, March the 30th. And you go to handsoffuhuru.org. And as you well know, on September the 3rd, we're going to be gathered up in Tampa, Florida for the trial. I thank you all very much. Very informative evening. Uhuru.
Uhuru, and thank you. All right, 7785, did you want to make an announcement?
Oh, no, good.
Okay. Sister Ann, it's all yours.
Oh, thank you so much. In case people don't know, we have lost some more of our dear friends and comrades fighting for freedom out here, one of these of whom is Attorney Joan Gibbs, who recently passed, and also Marty Goodman from Socialist Action, who also recently passed. So we are losing our elders at a really alarming rate. And I'm sure there will be memorials for both of them, and as soon as we have the information, we will let people know. I do have an announcement about our comrades from Women United Against Genocide. They are having a webinar on Saturday, March 23rd, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Women in the Forefront of the Struggle for National Liberation and Emancipation, with Ashaki Binta from Black Workers for Justice on Black Liberation and the Leading Role of Women, Dr. Barbara Alice Mann, historian and oral traditionalist on Indigenous Sovereignty and Rights and the Collective Leadership of Women, and Bernadette Moutien, a South African human rights leader, on the struggle against apartheid and work today for the emancipation of women in South Africa. You need to register ahead of time from this webinar. If you're not on the New York City Jericho or Spirit of Mandela listservs, I would strongly advise you to join. I thank you so much, Sister Betty.
Thank you, Sister Ann. And I want to remind you that you should really join the Electoral School. And if you can, try to participate in person. You need to go to St. Louis, where the conference will be held, and see the work that the African People's Socialist Party have done there. And it's important that we start running for these local elections. If you can get on a district board for education and stop these people from destroying the books that our children need to know, that is a big step forward for democracy, what we call democracy. I want to thank all of you for being on tonight. Uhuru, freedom, and good night. See you Thursday. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Sister Julia. Thank you. And Brother Shaq, you were awesome. Your folks will be real proud of you.
How sweet it would be to find that I could fly. I'd soar to the sun and look down at the sea. Then I'd sing, 'cause I know how it feels to be free. Then I'd sing.